for your anointing upon me to minister your word. And Father, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, I tell you what, I really don't know how far along I'm going to get. I say that often, and I say it because it's true. But we're gonna jump in here. Praise God, praise God. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2 Peter, the first chapter, chapter 1. Hallelujah. And my title today is Know What's In You. Know what's in you. Know what's in you. Hallelujah. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1, I'll just begin reading. From verse 1, and as you know, I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. That's us. Amen. That's us who are born again. So this is written to us. Amen. It's written to us. It's written to the church. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things, everybody say all things, has given to us all things that pertain to life. Now, if you have a Bible that you can write in, you don't mind writing in, I'd underline the word life. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, underline godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us. Now, anytime the word talks about something that belongs to us, we need to give it special attention. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong, we need to pay attention to all of God's word, but we need to know what's been given to us. By which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Now, I like verse 4. Which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. You know, the Bible tells us that God does all things well. He does all things well. So the Bible does not say here that he just gave us promises. It's talking about me. It's talking about you. Please get that on the inside of you. that God has given you and me, not just promises, but exceedingly great and precious promises. Thank you, Jesus. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. I need to read that again. By which, having been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers. Now, God wants us to be partakers of his exceedingly great and precious promises. We're supposed to be a part of that. We're supposed to be a part of that. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Glory to God. I was doing my study. I was reading, and I came across this in the Passion Translation, verse 3 and verse 4. I'll just read those two verses to you. 2 Peter 1, beginning at verse 3. It says, everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. Now, did you hear how that's written? Let me read it again. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, we can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. Amen. So my subject again is know what's in you. Here's what we have to understand, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we take up so much of our time looking at the outside and looking at things going on around us and looking at things that don't seem to be going our way or maybe going contrary to what we wish they were. And we totally forget who we are and who we have on the inside of us. Can I help you with something? If you are born again, raise your hand. If you're born again, let me raise mine too. If you're born again, raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you for your cooperation. Now, here's what I want to tell you. When you got born again, you know this. But when you got born again, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, came on the inside of you. I'm talking about the new birth right now. He came on the inside of you, right? Now let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question? Is there anything that is imperfect about the Holy Spirit? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Therefore, when Christ came into our lives by way of the Holy Spirit, or we can say the Spirit of Christ, however you want to say it, he took up residence on the inside of us. The Bible says we're temples. We're holy temples of the Lord, aren't we? Huh? Yeah, we're holy temples of the Lord. We ourselves are not perfect, but He is. A perfect person dwells on the inside of me. Why don't you testify and tell yourself, a perfect person dwells on the inside of me. Say it again. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, that's the reason the Bible says if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. And got rid of the old and created the new. And now all this is happening on the inside of us, in our spirits. Hallelujah. But what we don't understand is that when He came on the inside of us, He brought some things with Him. He brought some things with Him. No wonder, think about this for a moment. No wonder it says in 1 John that, listen to this, greater is He that is in you or me than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You can physically feel absolutely miserable. You can even be mentally tired. But there's a perfect person on the inside of you that is not miserable and he's not tired. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So now, turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter. Like I say, I don't know how far along I'll get, but we'll go as far as we can. Galatians, the 5th chapter. Glory to God. Well, let me get there. I was in the wrong place. Just hang with me just a moment. Okay. The Bible tells us to do some things. Let me just begin reading at verse 16. Verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now, how can I walk in the Spirit? Well, the Spirit of Christ is living on the inside of me. I'm talking strictly the new birth. Now, of course, we know that we have the baptism with the Holy Spirit available to us too, right? Amen. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. And something you ever been frustrated and as a Christian, say, oh man, why did I do that? Why did I do that? But look at verse 18. But if ye are what? If you're what? So we're supposed to have a life. In other words, we're supposed to be led by the Spirit. Right? Am I right? But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. Everybody say boo. Fornication, everybody say no.
No.
Uncleanness.
No.
Lewdness.
No.
Now, when it comes to sexual uncleanness, that's not only is it talking about fornication between and adultery between male and female, but it's also talking about same sex. Amen. Yes, it's in the Bible. Is there at least one more amen out here?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Same sex relationships is not pleasing to God. He has better. I say he has better.
Amen.
Glory to God. Verse 19. Let me start over on verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dimensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveries, and the like. Now, I like the way he wrote this as he was moved by the Holy Spirit, because you know how people are, you know how human nature is, and they'll read right down, folk will read right down there, okay, idolatry, no, I don't do that, sorcery, no, I don't do that, and, you know, all that. But then in verse 21, it says, and the lack. So you may be doing something else that's not listed here, that's not right, that covers it. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that, listen to this, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't write the book, folks. It was here when I got here. Amen. Now, this is where we're going. Everybody say, but. Well, that's how verse 22 starts. But. Now, remember, we need to know who's in us. It says, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God bears fruit. Now, I have everything I need on the inside of me to be successful in every way. Called the Holy Spirit. And all I have to do is bear, let me say it a little different way, draw from his fruit. Draw from his fruit. I want you to get this. Oh, I pray that you get a revelation of this. Regardless of what you think of yourself, what you think of your accomplishments, or the lack thereof, I want you to know if you're born again, you have God on the inside of you, the perfect one. And you have everything already that you'll never ever need. Now, granted, some things haven't manifested on the outside, or maybe haven't manifested with you yet, but the source is right there. Now, notice something here. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit. What did the Holy Spirit bring when he came on the inside of us? Stop right there. I want you to understand something. I don't believe that love, joy, and peace were placed at the head of this list by accident. Amen. Holy men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I believe there's a reason that love is listed first. Do you hear me? I believe there's a reason that love is listed first. Because in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, it tells us that love never fails. Do you know something? Can I help you with something? The love of God is the reason you're sitting right where you are right now, looking at me. It's the love of God that you were able to get up this morning, put your clothes on, and come to church. Now, don't misunderstand me. Those that are sick and weren't able to physically get up, God loves you too. My point is that love started everything. Hallelujah. Just imagine for a moment. I want you to just think with me. I want to use somebody as an example. If you want me to use you as an example, raise your hand. All right. I can imagine. You mind standing up? Way back, before there was even time, there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Way back before there was time, it was in God's heart to create a person. Now, your parents named you Mildred, but God knew what they would name you. And so we will just say, I don't know what God called you, but whatever God called you, certainly going to be much better than anything we can call you. But because we're limited in knowledge, we'll say Mildred. So God says, you know, I want to create a person in my likeness, in my image. She'll be called Mildred. Remember, none of us were around. The earth wasn't even formed, you know, way back. And God says, even before you were formed in your mother's womb, God says, I sure do love her. So I want to fellowship with her. I want to have a love fest with her. So I'm going to give her a body. place human spirit on the inside of her, and she will be born to fellowship with me. Now, God knew all the mess that Adam would get into. He knew about all that. But he also, and you heard me talk about it earlier, but he also knew that he had another way out called Jesus Christ. And so God says she will have an opportunity to receive my son Jesus into her life as her Lord and Savior, so that I can have fellowship with her and I can bless her and love her. And so she can love me back and we can have intimate fellowship whereby she cries to me, Abba, Father. Father, Father. So that we can have a father-daughter relationship. Y'all still with me? You have to understand the English language is so limited, so I have to do the best I can to describe the love of God for Mildred and for the rest of us. But what am I saying? It is so powerful. It is, thank you, Mildred, I don't want you to get tired. It is so powerful that when man did blow it, God says, I got another way. Listen, listen, the love of God is so powerful, he knew it would require the suffering of his son, but yet he went through with it. Because he loved Mildred. And he loved the rest of us. Y'all still? And that love is dwelling on the inside of us right now through the Spirit of God. Lisa sings a song sometime, who wouldn't serve a God like that? Some folks are not serving him because they don't understand his love. Because not only did Jesus die for those of us that are born again right now, he also died for all those that rejected him. They had an opportunity, but they rejected him. The love of God was poured out to them as well. Now, let me say this. The fruit of, I thank you guys for leaving that up there. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The Spirit on the inside of me is the Spirit of love. So, I think you know the answer to this. You know the biggest struggle that mankind has, and it even flows over into the church sometime, is loving each other. Loving each other. That's the reason we're having war. That's the reason countries have bombs and military equipment right now, because folks, mankind wants to take advantage of his fellow man. Amen. But because we have the Spirit of love on the inside of us, he's teaching us through the Word of God how to walk in, through the Word of God and our fellowship and with God, how to walk in this love. Let me tell you something. If you are truly born again, if a person is truly born again, there is absolutely no excuse for you not to love your fellow brother or sister. They don't have to look like you, talk like you. Come from the same side, same side of the railroad tracks you did. And that's one of the main things. I would hate to have to stand before God one day and have to answer to him why I didn't love my fellow brothers or sisters. Racism should never be a part of the body of Christ. Because God loves black skin, white skin, yellow skin, and all in between. And he proved it by the flowers in the field. They're all beautiful, but they're not all the same color. But they're all flowers. He didn't even make all animals the same color. Aren't you glad all cats are not black? Especially around Halloween. And I don't have anything against black cats. We used to have a few black cats as I was growing up. Amen. And we had white cats, gray cats, all mixed in between. Hind 57, how you want to say it. You know, all 57 different breeds, whatever. But they was all kitty cats, and they was all my pets, and I loved them all. Amen. There were 7 years between Cora, age, between Cora and me. Believe it or not, she's 7 years younger than I am. But she is. But about 10 years of my life, especially 10 years, maybe more than that, the only friends I had was my pets, my cats, and my dogs. That's right. And it was rough on me when one of them died. But they were my friends. But they were all different colors, all different sizes. But I loved them all. Are y'all getting where I'm going here? Love is a powerful thing. I don't care how much a person can hate. They cannot hate more than God can love them. And they are not supposed to hate more than you love them. Because we have something to draw from. He's on the inside of us, the spirit of love. We need to stop listening to the world, not swallow everything that comes through your television set. We need to go to the Word of God. Folks, Let me, I quoted it while ago, but let's go there. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. All right, we'll pick it up. I could easily read the whole thing, but I won't. Whole 13th chapter. It ain't but 13 verses, but I'll pick it up in verse 8. Listen to what it says, and I mentioned this earlier. Love never fails. You see that? Love never fails. You know, in Proverbs, talks about the seven things that God hates. Said the seventh thing is an abomination to him. And it's simply this: he who causes discord among the brethren. God hates that. But love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. There'll be a time when there won't be a need for prophecy. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, glory to God, then that which is in part will be done away. Let me tell you something. Love will always be around. Love is eternal. And he goes on to say, when I was a child, well, I won't read that, but drop down to verse 13. Now abide faith, hope, love, these three. Please tell me which one is the greatest.
Love.
Amen. But the greatest of these is love. But Pastor, I have such a hard time loving people. People just get on my nerves, or maybe a certain person just get on my nerves. I don't like the way they act, or whatever. But listen, God will give you the supernatural ability to love them, because it'll come from the inside, not from your head, but from your heart. You listening to me? I think I can safely say that every one of you in this sanctuary today have been mistreated by somebody at some point in time. They said something bad about you, or lied on you, or stole from you, whatever the case may be. But you know what? You can still love them. You can still love them. Amen. Some folks, and you've heard me say this, some folks you do have to love from a distance. But you still love them. They don't want you around them, that's fine. There's some things people cannot stop. They can't stop you from loving them. They can't stop you from praying for them. Because we can do both at a distance. Of course, if they have a need in their life and we have an opportunity to help them, what do? We help them. We bless them. Because Jesus said we're to do good to our enemies, didn't he? Do good to those that despise us. Why? Because love never fails. Love never fails. Love never fails. But that's the one thing that the devil's trying to use to break up the church. But we must be determined. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to love my brothers and my sisters because God loves me. And he chose me before the foundation. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing, Mildred? He chose to love you, and he hadn't even formed you yet. If God can love me, John 3:16, if God can love me, then I can love you and everybody else. Doesn't mean love, understand love. Love doesn't mean I condone what you're doing. And sometimes you have to use tough love, especially you parents know what I'm talking about. You love your kids. You love your kids, but sometimes you have to give them tough love. Sometimes you have to lay it down and say, this is the way it is. I'm getting ready to close because I didn't get past love. I meant to go on, but can I help you with something? You remember Jesus went into the temple and they were buying and selling and carrying on in there and just a mess. Jesus whipped all of them out of there, didn't he? I say Jesus whipped them out of there. But every time he hit one of them, it was a strike of love. Why? Because they were defiling his father's house, making it a den of thieves. Jesus was practicing tough love. But you know what? He later on went to the cross for everyone he whipped. He didn't whip them out of there because he hated them. They were defiling the Father's house. He whipped them out of there because he loved them and he loved his Father. Love never fails. But remember this. If you're born again, you have God's love already abiding on the inside of you. What do? You draw from it. You draw from it. You draw from it. Y'all still with me? Amen. I meant to take you further, but I think I'm going to stop right there and just let you ponder that and think on it. And praise God. And understand that the greater one's on the inside of you. So if someone get on your nerve, just remember, the greater one's on the inside of you. Amen. If your husband or your wife get on your nerve, just remember, the greater one's on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And don't listen to the devil. You know what? I am closing, ain't I? I come down off the bottom step, but I am closing. But I want to say this to you married people, to you married people. Don't let discord between you and your spouse rob you of God's blessings for you. Because when mama and daddy ain't getting along, it hinders the flow. Amen. And get rid of all the buts. But she, but he, but she, but he. Give you a little clue. It's impossible to argue and fuss when you're praying together. You can't, the two of you can't talk to God and fuss at each other at the same time. So, if he or she get on your nerves, if he or she get on your nerves, what do you do? Let me tell you what to do. I'm closing. I want all, if you're sitting beside your spouse, grab the hand right now. You grab hands and you pray. Pray for your spouse and not that God will smite them. But that God will continue to bless them. And that you would know his presence in your union together. Glory be to God. Is mama prophesying over here? I didn't hear what you said. That's right. That's right. You praying to bless one another, not Lord, show him up, fix him. And don't start prophesying. Thus saith the Lord, you're going to hell if you don't get yourself together. No, 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 no. Now I'm closing. So look at your spouse, and you single people, don't feel left out. Y'all know God loves you too, don't you? Oh, yes, he does. Amen. Now look at your spouse. Look them in the eye. Don't act like you shame each other. Look at your spouse and say, I love you so much. I don't like that so much. I love you a whole lot. Amen. Now, in my closing, don't just leave that right here in the church. Take it home with you. Take it home with you. Have heaven in your house. Your children would appreciate it if you have any. Father, we thank you and we give you glory for all that you are to us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the spirit of love dwelling on the inside of us. Hallelujah. And we can love because you first loved us. We can love one another. We can love you, Lord. we can please you with our lives. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. And I hope those of you that's watching the live stream with us, maybe if husband and wife are watching, I hope you participated along with the folks here in the sanctuary and just held hands and told each other how much you love them and appreciate them. Praise God. Amen. But I want to extend this invitation to everyone that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you do not have the assurance of heaven when you die, you can have the assurance of heaven. You can know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior simply by receiving him into your heart. And I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive you now into my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that